so that you'll hear them and you can understand what I'm thinking. So this process of communicating the thoughts of what I intend, the words that express them, and then the communication that gets them into your life. That's who Jesus was of the Father. He was that expression of what God wanted to bring into the people's lives and let them know, listening to Jesus, you're actually hearing God speak. Even to the point of the punctuation. Now, in the original languages, there is no punctuation, which is weird when you're trying to translate and you work through there. You kind of have to make it make sense sometimes because they didn't have punctuation in those days to put in here. Punctuation is important. There was a lady that had written out a note that she wanted the pastor to share as a prayer request. Her husband was a naval officer and he was about to go off to sea. And so she wrote this letter, this note, gave it to the pastor. John Anderson, having gone to sea, his wife desires the prayers of the congregation for his safety. Well, the pastor missed the punctuations in there, and so he read it like this. John Anderson, having gone to see his wife, desires the prayers of the congregation for his safety. It's all important because it gives us understanding of what God's wanting us to know. The writer of Hebrews says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these days, these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. You see, what this writer is saying, it would be like us going to a book club and sitting around and deciding what the author meant when he wrote these words. Or having the author come and tell us himself. And so all of these means that have been used prior to Jesus coming were the men coming and sharing their insight, sharing the inspiration, sharing what God was saying. But when Jesus came, it was the author of the book saying, let me tell you what's here. Let me tell you how it works in your life. The author came and explained that to us. A couple of words that are used in this passage in Hebrews. He is the radiance of his glory, which means he is the reflection of the reputation of God. If we were standing in a room and we had a mirror that we were looking into, we would look back, we would see our reflection. If Jesus was standing here beside us and he was looking in the mirror and we looked over there to see what he was seeing, we would see God reflected back from his reflection. That's what the word means. Reflecting back the reputation of God. When they saw Jesus, they saw the Father. He is the exact representation of God. The word means the stamp of a signet ring. Back in those days, if somebody usually of higher standing would need to send a letter, that note would be folded and wax would be dropped on the part and sealing the pages together. So you wouldn't open it. And then the person would take his signet ring off and press it down into the hot wax. When he pulled it back, it would be an exact representation of what was on this ring. It identified the person that was sending this letter. And so Jesus was the exact representation. Pressed in the hot wax of life, you pull it back and you say, wow, he left the imprint of God on that. When Jesus said to Philip asked the question, Jesus, would you show us the Father? And Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What I've said have been the words of the Father. What I've done has been the actions of the Father. Where I've gone has been the intentions of the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus explained God to us by the fact that he was God in our presence. When Jesus raised the son of the widow of Nain to life, he had died and Jesus went in and raised him back to life. Luke recorded this following that. Luke 7:16. fear gripped them all. And they began glorifying God, saying, God has visited his people. You see, they saw an activity of Jesus, but they didn't stop there. They went all the way and said, whoa, that's God at work. I'm seeing Jesus, but no, I'm seeing God at work. And what had happened was the Word had become flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, John writes, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That was the content of communication. That's what God wanted the people to see when they saw Jesus. They saw his intentions, his plan of reconciliation encapsulated in the life that Jesus was living in front of them. You say, okay, I get it. What's the big deal? Well, John says, this Jesus that we have known, who we've introduced to you, if you will open your life to him, he will place you into a brand new category of life where I am. See, John was not just offering them an introduction to say, hey, let me tell you some facts about Jesus. Let me tell you some history about what he did, how he operated. John was so intent. He said, let me tell you this. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. See, John was wanting to move these folks from this category of life over to another category of life. And the two words that hinged on that process are right here. Number one, received, means to take to oneself that's being offered. I receive the offer. I take it to myself. And become brought into a category that did not exist for them prior to receiving. See, the Bible uses a lot of comparisons to talk about this category and that category. It talks about the children of the world, the children of God, darkness, light, death, life, unforgiven, forgiven, alienated from God, connected with God, not a Christian. You see, once that line had been drawn in the sand and stepped over, you're committed to a whole nother category of life. You can't go back to the old. You went through a passage that changed you and won't let you be unchanged back into that other existence. John was writing this letter saying, look, we want to have genuine fellowship with you. We want our lives to be full of joy together. But first, you've got to come into the same category I'm in. If not, we have a worldly connection. We can talk about fishing. We can talk about the Astros. We can talk about gardening. We can talk about our grandkids. There's a lot of things we can talk about, but only through our relationship with God can we talk about life as God intended it. And see, that's his purpose here. Let me invite you across the line, come into the new category of life, come into this relationship, and now, once you're here, we've got something to talk about. We've got something to enjoy and move on. Look at verse 4. See, verse 4, he said, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. See, the relationship that we have with God brings us that connection to him. The fellowship that we have brings us into joy. See, John knew that. You know, the Bible uses probably the best illustration for this relationship with Christ. It's used to describe the church. It's used to describe the individual relationships. It's marriage, of all things. Marriage is the picture that God wants them to see so that they would understand a little more about what this Christian life is all about. Some have this rather strange concept of God selecting them and bringing them into this. Kind of like Ugg goes out and finds him a wife and grabs her by the head and drags her into his cave kicking and screaming. He selected her, and he brought her into that. The Bible's picture is actually more realistic. where the guy gets down on one knee and he offers a relationship. Come into my life. Come in and let's share life together. And then the young lady has the privilege of saying yes or no. But if she says yes, they then move along to the marriage ceremony where they stand there and they make promises to each other in vows that they commit their life together, and they go out of that place in a bond, in a united relationship. They are married. But what is going to make that marriage work? What's going to make it special is the fellowship they have together. How they gel, how they get along, how they delight in each other, how they respond to each other's needs. All of those come along in with the fellowship of the relationship. The relationship is a binding obligation they've made to each other and to God. Our relationship with God is a binding obligation He has made to us as we responded to Him. The fellowship is where the joy of the relationship takes place. We are created for relationship with God, and out of that relationship comes the joy. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is this: what is the chief end of man? And the answer is about that short: to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Isn't that like putting it right to the point? What's it saying? Have a relationship with God and enjoy it. Enjoy the relationship that you have. That's relationship and fellowship brought right together in that one concept. The chief end, the great reward, is to know who He is, joy what He does, and that pleases Him. Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. What's the reward of coming to God? Relationship. Firm, solid, lasts forever. You can't get out of it. You can't go back to what you used to be because you're not that anymore. You're now something brand new. Relationship with God. Jesus said in this concept of knowing God, He said that they may know You, Father, and that they also might know Me as the one You've sent. That brings them into the relationship. And then just as quickly, they added fellowship was the second reward. And what did Jesus say in response to that? I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance, overflowing, beyond the ability to contain is the life that He promised. That's the joy of the relationship. And the reward of believing in Him are both relationship and fellowship. See, knowing Jesus connects us to the right God. A God who is adequate to save and sustain us. A God who responds to our cries for help. A God who is interested in our specific lives. A God with all the power and ability to make a difference in us and in our circumstances. Because you see, there is a danger in having the wrong God. First of all, it disconnects us from all the promises. You read the Word and you hope that could apply to you, but with the wrong God, it doesn't come through. It removes us from the favor God intends. It robs us of the hope of our prayers being heard, much less answered. It reserves a place in hell for us since we die without ever having received God's reconciliation and forgiveness. It drives us to a life that will never satisfy. And then it keeps our lives too small for joy. Read this week. I don't know if it's true, but I'm not going to try it. If you take a brand new, freshly born shark, I don't know what variety, it just said shark, and you take him and you put him in an aquarium, his life will be stunted by the size of his environment. You might have a fully mature shark that's 6 inches long. In that same way, if we have a God that's the wrong God or wrong concept of God, a God too small and limited, it's going to reduce the size of our lives. And it's going to take away the amount of joy we can handle. So John wrote these things. At the end of the Gospel of John, he said, I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name, relationship. And now he's coming in 1 John, and he's saying, once you have been brought into this new category of life, I'm writing to you now so that your joy might be complete and you might have fellowship with him. This is the kind of information that changes a person's life, because this kind of information shows us the distinction of our choices and urges us further. Excuse me, who Jesus is and what we do about it completes our lives and defines them from then on. Steve Curry was the MVP of the NBA. I'm not going to say that. MVP, most valuable player, NBA, National Basketball Association. Okay, put those things together. He's the top dog. He was the best of the best this past season. He said, there's more to me than just this jersey, and that's Christ living inside of me. He looked at all that everybody was trying to do to define him. Boy, you're the most valuable person in the basketball league and all of this. He said, yeah, that's great. And I wear this jersey with pride, but that's not who I am. I am defined by what's inside of me, the very Lord himself. Mike Fisher is a star player for the NHL Nashville Predators hockey team. But more famously, he's Carrie Underwood's husband. So that kind of gives him higher status, I guess, for some. He said that after playing hockey for a few years, he was acting like a good Christian, but his life was still a mess. That all changed when he opened the Bible at Bible study and happened to turn to Luke 9 and read, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He said the reality of there being a God who wanted fellowship with him on a daily basis became a life-dominating, changing aspect forever. Here's his words. That was for me, said Fisher, because I had reached my dreams. I had money and everything I thought was cool, and it wasn't working. I knew the answer, but hadn't been looking for it in all the right places. Through the process of just praying and getting in the Word with my cousin, my life was changed. For the first time, I remember thinking, this is really real. It wasn't because of my parents. It wasn't because I was supposed to be in church. But it became real to me and didn't happen overnight. God changed me on the inside. See, what these guys have in common with so many of us is we've come to grips with the reality of there's a God that wants a relationship with us. And we've said yes. We've responded. And then we were brought into that relationship, and then we found the bonus. The bonus is that God not just wanting relationship, but wanting fellowship with us to make our life full and meaningful and bring the joy into our lives. And he encapsulated all of that into this wonderful book that we'll be going through for the next few weeks to tell us what he offers changes our lives and adds joy that the world can't even offer, much less give to us. So here's the question. I know most of us have had that moment of receiving, but there could be some that haven't. I've got some folks here that are anxious to share with you how you can receive the gift of a relationship with God. We're going to be dealing for the next few weeks over the fellowship. You'll get that from the pulpit. But some need to have a moment just to stop and say, yeah, I want to receive what God offers. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, and I'm going to ask you just to make your way over here if you want to during the song. If you want to after the service is over, there'll be some folks that will meet you over here and help you know how to do that. That's crucially important to this day. But for the rest of us, we know our time is coming because God is going to show us how to maintain that precious fellowship with him. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day, this word, this message for us. Lord, all of us needed to hear again, be reminded of what you've done to provide relationship for us. And then you want to add fellowship with us and how precious of a gift that is. Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you for how this is instilling in us a desire to know you more and to love you better. So, Father, guide us through that process. For those who are waiting, maybe for this moment, to open their lives up and give themselves to you, Father, may this be that precious time with them when they sense that you're there on one knee in front of them, inviting them into a relationship. So, God, I pray that you might make it a strong time for them, an irresistible time for them, where they want to come and get this settled today. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and all that this day means. In Jesus' name, amen.